Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Hey, welcome to the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast, everyone. I'm your host, John Lossworth. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Mark Hoffmeyer.
I'd like to apologize to all the mega chronic beef and Nerf ball meatball fans for mispronouncing that name on our podcast 51 about Deadpool. So I know you're very passionate about the Nerf ball meat Teenage Mutant Ninja meat cake barf ball character, and I apologize. So please stop sending hate mail.
Okay. What is the name? Full name, anyway. John Lemmigood, do you know the full name of this character that Mark is trying to pronounce correctly?
Yeah, you know, Mark was channeling it. He said Megachronic. Instead of Mega, throwing an N, and it's Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead. So is this?
I don't know what the
Negasonic is. Timbo Wamet.
Wombat Gromit, Australian superhero.
Negasonic Teenage Mutant Ninja.
Is she, in all seriousness here, is she like a real character in the Marvel universe?
That's a real comic book character.
She wasn't in much, so they could afford her.
Oh, okay. Was she like one of the Penny characters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great movie. Check it out or listen to the podcast.
Yeah, we talk about the whole movie anyway.
Either or and both. I don't know.
And. Either or and. No, the and.
Yeah, okay. I'm confusing myself here, so that means it's time for listener questions. Yeah, let's see what I did. All right.
Yeah. So, wait, what'd you do there?
Mark, what are our listener questions for today?
Wait, did John Levengood get introduced?
Yeah, he got introduced. I was very sly about it, you know.
Wait, oh, so you were too subtle about it, and I didn't pick it up.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my gosh,
hey, it worked. My subtleness worked. You had no idea.
I don't like this because I'm gonna have no idea where the pod's going now. All right, so so I got the questions for this week, and there's some doozies, and I absolutely love these questions that I got, and. Let me pull them up here. But actually, one of the questions was so great. Our podcast is actually going to be about it next week. So we're really excited for that. But the first question is, you were born with incredible powers, speed, strength, reflexes, intelligence, and you decide to not be a superhero. Instead, you pick a sport that you can be the best ever at. What sport do you pick? Side note, you age normally and you can pass every blood test, physical. So nobody is hip to you being a badass superhero.
So when I take a piss test, they'll be like, did he test positive for steroids? They'll be like, no, but he pisses excellence.
Yeah, exactly. Like every test, every random test that you have, they're not going to be like this. Like, you know, there's this show where, you know, they can't stick a needle into a person, like all that, et cetera, et cetera. Like you can pass every test when they take the blood test, when you take the urine test, when you take the breath, blood, and urine test. Yes, please, Mighty Ducks. Yeah, you're going to pass everything. So I was thinking about this, and if I wanted to be like the most famous person in the world, I would become a soccer player because all the world's top, like most popular athletes are soccer players. I like looked it up online, and like Ronaldo has 100 million followers, Messi, Neymar, Mesut Ozil, David Beckham. They're like the biggest names on the planet. But I wouldn't want to like practice every day and do all that. And so I would just go to MMA. I would just fight, and I would like pretend to train like on my off team, show up. You know, be the champ in two divisions, do what Conor McGregor couldn't do, be like the champ at 185, 205, and just sort of hang out, travel, show up and beat people up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, that just seems like a great way to spend my time.
See, I was also thinking MMA, like the UFC route, but I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, if I have all these superpowers and no one would ever be the wiser, I think this is an opportunity to just... to pick a sport that no one watches and just be like the best at that. Like, you're so good that you're the reason people watch that sport. Like, if I want to go into curling, you know.
You literally have won 1 million snooker games in a row.
Yeah, like, I'm the reason people watch curling in the first place. Like, I'm a literal god at this sport. It's kind of like how
spelled your name out with the rock that they slid. Like, you're so good with that little thing.
Is that what they do?
Yeah. And, like, they do the fast feet, you know?
Yeah. No, see, if it would just be me. Like, I would throw it, and I would, like, brush it, and I would kind of steer it at the same time. It'd be amazing to watch.
Could I be your teammate? And then that way I can get, like, all the gold medals, and I'll just let you do everything?
No, because then that would just make me kind of the sidekick, wouldn't it?
No, because you're doing everything, and then I just sort of, like, hang out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Like, I pretend to a couple bits.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like the last bench player on the Chicago Bulls when they were great.
I would, it would either be curling or lacrosse, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think that I've stumbled across curling on television once ever by accident.
I keep it on every time.
Why is it called curling? There's no one really doing any curls.
It's named after the person who founded it.
No, Henry
Curling. Sterling Curling.
I thought about the whole fighting thing. I thought that would be cool. But, like, if you were really, like, so superior, you would literally have to suppress your abilities.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you see, then it's no fun for you.
Yeah, but, like, you're so good. Like, remember on The Incredibles, that kid could easily run past everyone, but they just sort of have him slow down to blend in. Like,
right, but I'm sure that's not fun anymore, though.
Well, no,
yeah,
see.
But I would make the paychecks. I would travel the world. I would love it.
That's the brilliance of the curling plan. Like, you would have to go all out just to make people watch.
Like, but I would invent, like, the pretzel. I would literally put my opponents into a form that looked like a pretzel.
Yeah. Oh.
Like in a cartoon.
He threw a triple. He did a 720 in the air, you know, and then knocked a guy out with a knee to the sternum. Like, I would invent moves.
Oof.
That still, you know, gravity still worked.
I just didn't imagine the announcer going, oh, man, there's not enough salt for that pretzel he's making.
See, if I had all these powers, I'd win a little bit of cheap money, like not suppressing my powers and just wiping the floor. And then right after that, I'd go into coaching.
Oh, nice.
Because I'd be a great coach. They would actually pay me what I'm worth to coach, right? Because I'd be, you know, like, if you're really smart, you can get really good into the game and stuff. Like, then you could actually go all out with something after you've made your money and you're comfortable. I don't know, though. Like, I remember Smallville, right? Like, Clark and that, Tom Welling, like, when he was playing high school football in the first few seasons, like, he couldn't enjoy it. Every now and then, like, he'd push it a little too far, and then his dad would get on him, even though no one was wiser to it. And he's like, yeah, Dad, you're right. I might have gotten caught.
Wait, did he ever say, I don't want your life?
No, Tom Welling was perpetually likable. He didn't have that annoying James Vanderbeek shrill. But to defend the Beak, though, I did like him in Varsity Blues. It's just that his voice was hard to listen to.
I like what's her name from Varsity Blues?
Amy Smart.
Yes.
Oh, Allie Lauder.
Allie Lauder. Yeah, I think we all know the scene that I'm talking about. So.
I was more in the Amy Smart camp myself.
You can't go wrong with either, really.
Allie Larder, like, that's just – and those are Texans, man. Like, yeah. Texas – there are some big people in Texas. She comes out with that whipped cream bikini. Like, she's just, like, lulling her husband into early type 2 diabetes.
That's her plan.
So, wait. If I'm MMA and I fight a German in Germany, you better believe I'm going to put him in a German pretzel.
Okay. Is that
– I think that's German pretzel, right?
Is that a thing?
If it is, I just made it up.
Wait, where's Bavaria?
Yeah, German pretzel.
Okay, yeah,
Bavarian is in Belgium.
Yeah,
Bavaria is Belgium.
Okay,
I just listen, guys. You know, when you're a superhero and you're fighting MMA, you make up your own rules.
Yeah.
If anyone messes with, you know, like, let's say someone talks smack to me, like, hey, he called it, he said Bavaria was in Germany. Yeah. I would beat the living daylights out. I'd go down in a weight class and be like, what'd you say?
Listen, this podcast is called Movies, Films, and Flicks, not Movies, Films, and Geography.
Yep, that's right.
Right. So, yeah, I think the answer to this question is Allie Lauder, Amy Smart, and Bavarian Pretzels.
Bavarian Pretzels.
Yeah, I mean, Belgium and Germany both have great soccer teams who might meet in the finals of the Euros. So, you know, people just confuse them then.
Yeah. How do we know there aren't already superheroes in the world and they're just slumming it up playing like baseball or curling or chess?
I think John McEnroe was one.
Yeah. No, he was a legend.
I heard this rumor, Lazabeth, that you did an impression of John McEnroe delivering a baby.
Yeah, it was great.
Could you do it? Could you do it for us?
Maybe later. I think we got a... Well, I might bust him out later. You know, you can't be serious, Lazabeth. You can't tell McEnroe what to do. You know, if you tell him to show up, he's not going to show up. You know, that's how it works.
He's going to be 10 minutes late.
Yeah. All right. I think we answered that question. What's the next question, Mark?
Okay, so our next week, we're going to actually do a full podcast on this. But I love this question so much, we're going to kind of give you a sneak peek. And this one, again, comes from Movies, Films, and Flicks superhero Chris Kelly. The guy's a maniac. And he asked, AVP, Batman vs. Superman, Freddy vs. Jason, Kramer vs. Kramer, what verse movie do you want to see? And so for me, I want Greedo from Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. I hate writing that out. Versus the sword guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because I feel like both of them were like...
Solve the mystery!
Yeah, like they were both like very talented like bounty hunters and swordsmen. And Harrison Ford killed them quickly when they weren't expecting it. So I want a movie where Greedo and the sword guy can like, you know, show us what they're all about. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Like, I don't want Greedo getting shot first. I want to see Greedo fly. I want to see, like, he tracked down Han Solo. Like, yeah. The guy knows his stuff, and he got fried by a cheap shot. And then, you know, the same thing with the sword guy. Everyone was scared of him. Like, what if he had a family? You know, like, I want to know these guys. You know, I want, like, a Legends of the Fall type film where these guys were brothers, but a woman drove them apart. One became a bounty hunter and traveled the world. The other one became a swordsman. And then they were both killed by, Harrison Ford.
I'd watch that, actually.
You know, there was a species of really weird-looking catfish that was named after Greedo.
Really?
Yeah, it's like Pelta Dykeski's Greedo Eye.
Nice.
And like, if you do a Google search for new species of catfish, Greedo, you will see side by side images of them in Google Images, and it's hilarious.
So when I go noodling, I'm gonna shoot first.
No, I guess so, man. You gotta watch out for those things.
That's right.
I'm just, oh man, that's so. I've always thought that was kind of so nerve wracking. Just using your finger as bait. I'm like, that's just. I mean, I know catfish. Like, they're not. It's not like they're alligators, but. Still, like,
well, you're really using your whole hand.
Oh yeah. That
doesn't... they're just gonna be gumming on you.
No, that's just not a good feeling. I don't know, I'm sorry. All right, I guess it's my turn. So for my pick, I'm going with Aragorn from Lord of the Rings versus Ken Jeong's character from Role Models, King Argotron.
Oh, brother.
So the real king versus the guy who acts like he's king more than the real king?
No, he was a king. You know, he rightfully claimed that throne in the giant LARPing competition. So, yeah, I just want to see Aragorn in a pseudo LARPing battle.
Oh my gosh, he would break his ribs with that LARPing sword.
I feel like Ken Jeong would just like he would play dirty though. You know, like he would tell Aragorn to show up here, but then he would have his lackeys do the dirty deed for him.
And Aragorn's like really honorable too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like,
maybe Paul Rudd and Sean William Scott are like will get recruited by Aragorn to help him reclaim his kingdom.
I want Aragorn with the KISS team from Role Models battling orcs.
KISS Myanthia.
Yeah, KISS Myanthia.
I really just want a Role Models too. That's what I'm getting at.
I love that movie, dude. Sean William Scott's my hero. Like, Goon, Role Models. Dude, I love that guy.
Sean William Scott and Paul Rudd had such great chemistry together.
Like, yeah, they were great. Like, their scenes with Jane Lynch. Like, those are amazing.
Oh, such a great movie. Yeah, there needs to be Role Models, too. That's basically what I'm trying to do here.
And it also taught me another thing when I was watching it. You know, they're like tall, grande, venti. And Paul Rudd was going off against venti. And she's like, it's 20 ounces, 20.
Yeah.
And Paul Rudd looked like a fool. But like during that time, I was kind of like,
I mean, he makes a good point. I mean, yeah. just call it what it is.
But then she proved him wrong and said venti's 20. So he, I don't know. I liked it. I like that Paul Rudd got his comeuppance.
Yeah.
Normally he's the one-upping people verbally. But Elizabeth Banks got him.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, Levin, good.
All right, so I was a big comic book fan up until I was about, I don't know, 14 or 15 years old. I was really into Dark Horse Comics and a few other things and like Image Comics. But there were three different comic series that were all Batman versus Predator in the 90s. And they were awesome. So I want that, right? But I want like either Christian Bale Batman or Scott Adkins to be Batman in this like gritty Batman versus Predator face off.
Oh my goodness.
Like this would be serious. I mean, it happened there are three different whole comic series of it. Like I own all of them from the first two series. The third series I discovered women in high school, so I stopped getting into comics. But like it was so awesome. It happened three different times. And for Dark Horse to have three crossovers back then was huge. But I mean, they're both so dark, right? Like they're both kind of like some mean, back-breaking, criminal punishing, or you know, just plain mean, like in the shadows, sneaky hunters. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. I always thought Predator was kind of cheating, though, with that invisibility and shoulder cannon.
Yeah, but Batman would just solve that with a little infrared visor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that, you know, so that's instantly solved. Like, that won't even work for – that will work for one encounter. That.
Do you guys remember the –
whole movie, if you will.
Do you guys remember that fan-made short film that came out, like almost a decade ago? Where like it was basically Batman versus Predator. I think this was before the Christopher Nolan Batman movies came out, and it was actually really well done. Yeah, it actually showed like Batman and Predator just going at it. It was pretty cool. I don't know if it's still on YouTube or something.
But yeah. I didn't see that. I saw the recent one with the like with the medieval knights versus Predator that came out like a few years ago. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna let this one loose. I wasn't gonna do it, but I'm doing it anyway. So speaking of Predator, this guy has been killed by an alien, a Predator, and a Terminator. I want to see Hudson from Aliens battling Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, and basically, I just want like Hudson to be running around like an idiot, Bill Paxton, and Scorpion's like, "Come over here," and then he misses with that stupid thing that flies from his hand, and then Hudson blows him up with a rocket launcher and goes, "Game over, man," and then the screen cuts. Because remember, like on Mortal Kombat, game over.
So this is more of like this is almost like one scene in a big movie. It sounds like
no, I think Hudson's just being chased the whole time and swearing and like monologuing.
Okay,
it's like the Revenant. It's like the Revenant, but with Hudson. Game over, man. This is bears and there's water and there's these water and there's cliffs and I'm all cut up and where am I?
Is Hudson from like Kentucky?
Wow. I don't even know where that accent went. I think I had it pretty good. Like game over. No, game over. Wait. Game over, man. Nope, yeah, I can't. I lost no, it. I had yeah. it for like 1 second.
We can't. We can't do
like a Western Kentucky draw.
Yeah. Game over.
We can't do impersonations on this podcast.
Nope, I've lost it. But just imagine that, like a Revenant type film where Hudson's being chased by Scorpion, and at the end, Scorpion gets blown up by a rocket launcher, and game over, man. And then the movie's over.
Flawless victory.
I mean, I guess if he didn't land one strike on Scorpion and then blew him up with a rocket launcher, like that's a flawless victory, right?
Yeah. Fatality.
I just like things getting blown up by rocket launchers, to be honest.
Paxtonality.
Yeah. Well, I want to see Paxton in a Multiplicity movie. There's just too many Bill Paxtons.
Paxtonicity. Paxtonicity. Yeah. No.
I'm, I'm in.
Yeah. All right. So I think the answer to that question is Bill Paxton in Multiplicity. Right?
Greatest movie ever.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Thanks again for those wonderful questions, guys. Yeah. I think it's time to move on to the meat of the show, the topic for today. Levin Good, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to talk about two comic book characters that have both been around for almost 80 years who are finally facing off in film, right? Because we got Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, Yawn of Justice on the internet. And, I mean, so these guys, I mentioned Predator and Batman fighting three times. Batman and Superman have fought in over 10 different comic series. They keep meeting somehow. They keep fighting. Then we had the three Christian Bale Batman movies for the Batman reboot, then Man of Steel in 2013. It was inevitable that these guys were going to finally fight on screen. I think it would only be natural to kick off the conversation about this movie with the most commonly criticized and debated topic on the internet, and that is the story or the 89 stories that they're trying to shoehorn into one movie right now. Like, what was your guys' take on this? Like, could you describe this movie in one sentence? Because Batman fighting Superman doesn't do it.
Okay, so you know that movie Dude, Where's My Car, when they're going through the drive-thru and they're ordering, and then the lady keeps going, and then?
And then?
And it's like, and that. So I was going to write a review, then I'm like, and then, so Batman's parents are killed again, and then and there's a dream sequence, and then Lex Luthor pops up and he frames Batman, and then Batman and Superman kind of don't like each other, and then there's a big explosion, and then Kevin Costner lectures somebody, and then they fight, and then Wonder Woman comes in, and then the trinity of Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman battle Doomsday, and then they win, and then Superman dies, and then they're going to form the Justice League.
Oh, nice. I actually wrote this little one-line review immediately when the credits start rolling in the theater. I was also drinking, so this may sound kind of really weird, but okay. A lot of ham-fisted imagery tightly wrapped in a sleek package that leaves no room for any kind of substance or something. I don't know what I must have been drinking a lot. I don't know,
there is no, like, I kind of felt like it was someone who just discovered, like, the cure when they were 16 and then just wrote a lot of generalizations and, like, but the problem is with the and then plot, like, it kept the film from focusing on anything, and that meant that everything was superficial. There's no themes to explore. Yeah. Like, I don't even know why Lex Luthor hated, like, why Lex Luthor was against Batman and Superman, because they did nothing bad to him.
Yeah,
I think so. I've been, like, reading what I've loved. You know, we're recording this a week after it was released. And I've loved reading. I listened to Kevin Smith's Hour Review. I listened to the Empire 2-Hour Spoiler Podcast. I've read every review I can find. Basically, my eyes have gone cross-eyed. I'm like, oh, my God. But I've loved the debate online and how people are saying critics don't get it. And then audience, like, you know, fanboys are saying this is meant for the fanboys. But I think this is a case where the critics are right. And, like, it's not a good film, but I've really enjoyed the fallout of it. I mean, it's already made $500 million. I don't know. I'm just, it's a hot mess. The movie is.
There are a lot of great, great, powerful statements and ideas in here. It's just that it's besieged by so many other ideas, and then you put them in a blender and hit food processor or something You don't get a good picture of any of them.
Yeah.
Like, I almost wrote about this movie, and I was jotting down notes, and my notes ended up telling in a weird way the story of the movie with nothing but verses statements. Superman versus Zod. Batman versus Superman emotionally. Batman versus Wonder Woman, question mark. Batman versus Superman's aliens in Africa during a dream. Batman versus Superman. Batman and Superman versus Lex Luthor. Batman and Superman versus Doomsday. Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman versus Doomsday. Batman versus Lex Luthor. Superman versus Earthworms.
Yeah, it's a
that's like 12 versus statements. Like, there's too many conflicts. The thing is that each of those statements, even Batman versus Earthworms, makes the point of a very important story arc. They crammed the death of Superman and the fallout, or, you know, the effect of the death of Superman into this movie.
And, you know, we haven't even talked about a nuclear blast going off in space.
Oh, my God. It's
And you know what's crazy about this movie is, so I'm not really – I haven't been into the Batman-Superman canon where they fight. You know, I loved like a Death in the Family, stuff like that with Batman. But the fight between them is an afterthought. This movie I don't think is about Batman and Superman. I think it is about Zack Snyder pushing his like thematic Nolan light agenda. I don't because listen, like, I don't remember a single line of dialogue that Superman said in this movie. The only moments I liked with him were there's like, so there's Lois Lane, and of course, they're like, "You're a lady, no, I'm a journalist." Like, that's in the first one. She's like, "I'm a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist." But like, the only scenes I really liked of Superman was with Lois Lane, like, Lois Lane's depressed in a bathtub, and, you know, Henry Cavill's Clark Kent gets in with her fully clothed. Like, that showed some personality. And then when Lex Luthor knocked her off a building, he caught her with a smile on his face. So, like, even tiny moments where he's, like, other than that, he's a blank slate who doesn't, like, he's, like, dead-eyed. And I don't think Zack Snyder likes Superman. Like, I don't see anything about, like, it was just such a weird, like, you know, you're supposed to care for these people, but, like, Ben Affleck was a dick in this movie. Or Batman, Bruce Wayne was kind of a dickhead. Like, he was really, like, he had fought all these villains in the past. How much collateral was there from the Joker and his other villains? And he's sitting there going, "I hate Superman." It's like, well, you know, how much, you know, how many, you know, people have died because of you? And in the beginning, it shows Bruce Wayne driving through the destruction of Metropolis when Zod and Superman are fighting. And what I don't get is Ben Affleck's like, "Everybody leave the building." Why are they still in the building? It's just idea after idea, and none of it is like, it's like what Lazbeth does with our MFF notes. He writes a piece of paper down and throws it on the floor, and they all get mixed up together. And then they're like, "We need every single one of these ideas in this movie because we have another billion movies coming out." In rant. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So,
but
well, no, I mean, they're all good points, right? Because Bruce Wayne was always mad, and he was completely obsessive and self-righteous instead of acting for the benefit of the people. He made a benefit of the people statement, but it was really masking his, "I hate Superman. It is my job to eliminate Superman." You know, it was all like, it was self-motivated instead of inspired to protect. So it was hard to root for him about that. And then, yeah, then you think, oh, well, then you should side with Superman. But like, you made the good point. Superman was human and endearing in basically one scene, that bathtub scene. And we never really see him much as Clark, except for when he's like at that weird thing where he meets Batman with Lex Luthor at that gala, but that was kind of weird. That was a very anti Clark Kent snippety instead of, you know, happy bubbly. And so, like, there was no purity in Superman, and there was no sense of proper justice in Batman. And those are the two things that I feel like those characters stood for. And we see none of it, not even a glimmer, not a moment of these iconisms in the whole movie.
Yeah. And it's like, I felt bad for Superman because everyone just kept piling on him. He's like, "Listen, guys, like, Zod attacked. Like, of course, you know, I punch him through some buildings. A lot of people die. But like, these guys were going to destroy the world." And they're like, "Ugh." But that party, though, sorry, Lazavath, if we're cutting you off. But that party was kind of ridiculous, too. And I was listening to the Empire podcast, and they were talking about this where Lex, you know, Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne meet, the two, like, you know, they're in their civvies. And Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor, comes up to him and is like, oh, hey, Bruce Wayne. And Clark Kent didn't know who Bruce Wayne was, which is kind of weird. But then Jesse Eisenberg was like, Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne meet. But it's like a reporter for a newspaper meeting a billionaire. Like, why is it such a big deal that these two are meeting? But then right there and there, and I felt like Eisenberg knew that Clark Kent was Superman because he, like, punched him, grabbed his hand. So he immediately knew Clark Kent was Superman. And then why was Wonder Woman at that party? Like, and why'd she steal a backup of a drive she needed? Like, the thing she stole was the backup. She didn't even steal the main drive. And Batman did a little bit of sleuthing to get some files from Lex Luthor. So he goes down the basement, pretends he's drunk, blah, blah, blah. But then Wonder Woman steals it from him. Diana Prince. Like, it's all just, I know guys were jumping all over the place, but that this is what this movie is.
Yeah. Oh man, there's a lot to go through here. But as far as Ben Affleck goes, I have to disagree because I actually enjoyed his kind of take on Bruce Wayne in this movie. I think Ben Affleck was one of the few good things that I liked about this movie. But it was cool seeing like a weathered and broken down Bruce Wayne. You can tell like he's seen a lot of shit. Like he's just really tired of having to fight crime, and he's just like become super super cynical, even for Bruce Wayne. Like it was just like it was like a different take on a character. I don't think you really strayed too much from what makes Bruce Wayne Bruce Wayne. Like it was, as a huge Batman fan, I actually enjoyed Ben Affleck's take on Bruce Wayne in this movie.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to his future films. Like, and I liked Ben Affleck. I don't know. I had nothing against him in this movie. I guess I don't know. It's weird. I didn't hate any of the characters. They're just really never had a chance to do much.
It's just that you know, but when you try to set up like a plot where like he has to fight Superman, that's when like it gets a little iffy because like you know it feels like you're trying to force something no matter what. You know.
Well, the thing is that most individual scenes work splendidly. It's just that there's when you put all the scenes together into this movie, they don't work well together. Batman or Ben Affleck plays now. So Batman has a tortured history and he does have rage about crime and justice. The thing is that that's not all of what makes him. And this movie depicted him. If this was the only Batman movie you saw, that's all you think of Batman, and that's wrong.
Yeah, because he's like
and yeah. Henry Cavill, just to show the other side real quick, Henry Cavill, he is a character of purity, and we kind of know that's under there. It's just that they're not showing us that. They're showing us how kind of depressed and beaten down he is by all the flack he's getting. But they're not taking any time to show us the moments of what's under that. And so those are the faults I see. But I think that both actors did great and scenes that were written very well to depict these aspects. It's just that they only gave us those dimensions overwhelmingly. That's my opinion.
No, yeah. I mean, there was just – I don't remember those lines. And I actually, you know, I like the actors. I actually like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I thought she actually smiled in the movie, which I thought that was pretty great. She was battling Doomsday at the end and, like, she got whapped, like, 100 yards and she got up smiling, like – I'm like, I think that's the first smile in this movie. And then, like, she was, like, cutting them and, like, lassoing them. And, like, I mean, that scene where I wasn't really into DC as a kid. But when I saw, you know, Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman together, I was like, this is awesome. But yeah. Then, like, I don't know. But I don't know. Yeah. So, I mean, there's, like, moments that were cool. But overall, I don't think this was a Batman or Superman movie. I think this was Zack Snyder pushing his ideas on the populace. And I don't think, you know, I hear, you know, Kevin Smith did a commentary saying there's a lot of nerdy DC things in here with Darkseid and Parademons and stuff like that. But this was not a movie for fans. Like, this was just this wasn't, I don't know.
It was for Zack Snyder.
Yeah. And like, I feel like it was so kiddie pool deep. Like, you know, the themes in the, you know, the Nolan films like Dark Knight, like I think they took their time to build characters. And I think Deadpool and Iron Man were such successes because you like the characters and the tone. I think they cared about the characters, where this movie, I don't think they did.
No, because they're worried about, or like they're trying to set up the Justice League movies later on. So this whole movie was basically just a huge setup, you know, what the Avengers did in multiple movies, Batman versus Superman tried to do in one, basically.
And one thing I'm curious about, like, let's say the following DC films are really good. Like, then we look back at this one and go, but I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
But hey, so before we go into too much more, can we talk about Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg's plan?
Well, can we start by talking about the bullet?
Amy Adams' bullet?
That whole scene and everything that built up to it. So there, right, so the scene is where Amy Adams is in, like, you know, Africa interviewing some kind of ISIS general or something. And then things go bad and she's in danger because of Lex Luthor's, like, you know, black ops employees acting undercover, whatever, for this ISIS general or something. And then Superman comes and saves them, and in effect, you know, a bunch of people get killed, and they recover a bullet. Amy Adams recovers a bullet that is like this special bullet. And you think that it should matter, right? Because it's not like any other bullet that anyone knows about on the planet. That bullet never mattered.
Never.
Why? Why did that bullet exist?
And so, like, all these KGB guys murder these people, and then they blame the murders on Superman? But that's like a rhinoceros using brass knuckles. Like, you don't need it. Like, why would Superman shoot people? Like, you know, just throw him to Mars.
You know what the Marvel equivalent of Amy Adams' bullet is? It's the that airplane in Amazing Spider-Man 2, the one that was, like, in the air while Spider-Man was fighting Electro. The plane had nothing to do with, like, the main plot. Like, none of the characters knew anybody on that plane. Why were they showing people on that plane? It made no sense.
There's two plane crashes in that movie, too.
Yeah. You're
like, what's going on here?
So, yeah, it was... These two things are just huge red herrings that have absolutely nothing to do with it. But this bullet, though,
it's like special. It looks, and that's all it was. Basically, it basically just showed us that Lex Luthor is trying to paint a picture of Superman, and he's using specially engineered bullets on this mission. That's actually reckless. It makes it more trackable to your people.
Yeah, there's another. So after that kind of fails and people don't hate Superman, Lex Luthor gets Scoot McNairy, who got his legs broke in the beginning. Kevin Smith said that Scoot couldn't scoot anymore. But so there's this guy who's really angry at Superman. So they give him this special wheelchair, and there's this congressional hearing, which you could have cut everything out of. And so Lex Luthor's next thing is to blow up an entire congressional hearing to make it seem like Superman did it. But then a minute later, they're like, it was Scoot McNairy who did it. Like, there's no one ever talks about that explosion for the rest of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't make sense either. That was another weird thing. It's like someone started an idea at the writing table and then they, like, threw it to someone with brain damage to complete. Yeah. Like, there's a congressional hearing and there's an explosion. Lex Luthor sets it up to look like Superman. It was the guy in the wheelchair and put it in the news. Like, it just ruined that whole setup.
And from what I gathered about Lex, and I listened to this on the Empire podcast, I think, where I like the idea of Lex Luthor being like, he's like the alpha in this world. You know, he's the billionaire. He's the creator. But then this god comes along and he's like, he's jealous. You know, like, he doesn't like that there's something more powerful than him on this earth. And then so he wants to destroy it. But it's the worst way to destroy him, possibly. Like, he just does it all the wrong ways.
Yeah, it's strange. I get what you're saying there, but they also showed things that kind of go the opposite direction of Lex. It made Lex, like, really hard to define, because he always defined himself as under his late father. And how he left his father's study almost like a shrine. He left it exactly as his father had it. He reflected on what his father thought of that painting. He said, "Oh, Mr. Luthor is my father. He built this empire. I'm just the kid, you know, who took over." But then, but everything else that he does goes with this alpha, this almost like this otherwise meaningless jealousy. It's strange. Again, it's a lot of interesting ideas that don't play well together on the same script.
And he's like stuffing Jolly Ranchers down people's throats.
That was so weird. And he's how he pushed his finger into that man's mouth. And while we're on that, when he was in his study, or, you know, his dad's old study, with Holly Hunter, the Kentucky senator who was going to start that big hearing for Superman, right? Did it feel oddly weird, like he was hitting on her?
Yeah, it was squirrely. But I only cared about the bourbon he had. He had Blanton's. He had, like, Pappy 15 or 20. And then he had Willet Rye. So that's an impressive.
What was the line he said? Like, my dad said the secret to a long life is Kentucky Sour or something like that.
Kentucky like Rye, Kentucky, right? Yeah. No, Kentucky Mash. Kentucky Mash.
I mean, I'm with you. In moderation, maybe. Like, you know, your liver probably doesn't agree. Yeah. But I was too busy, like, all right. That bought me like 10 minutes of goodwill right there for the film. Yeah.
You know, Jesse Eisenberg, with all his idiosyncrasies, which is, granted, a Jesse Eisenberg thing, right? He brings that to kind of all of his characters, that twitchy, Asperger-y kind of idiosyncratic bit. But did that not feel like – and I saw this on the internet. Someone said, like, it would have been great if he played the Riddler instead. And I almost feel like I was seeing the Riddler working under the pseudonym Lex Luthor.
Yeah, no, you're right. And there's a lot of things that – he did these weird tics that felt like acting. Roger Ebert was talking about the Psycho remake. And in the original Psycho, Norman Bates, he had these like little giggles. Not giggles, but like the way he would laugh. But it was like very organic and part of the character. And then Vince Vaughn did it. And Vince Vaughn tried to be crazy, but he threw in those little laughs to like mimic Norman Bates. And it just sounded weird. Like it just sounded like he was acting. So like all the moves that Eisenberg did in this film, it just felt inorganic. Someone said, hey, let him just be Mark Zuckerberg from The Social Network being really jealous.
That would have been better.
Yeah. And like, he was dark in Social Network. Let him just be this jealous guy, like who hates not being the alpha. And then he gets in, you know, like Ben Affleck's brain or something like that with crime, you know, like that could have been interesting. I said, it wasn't about the characters.
You know, I imagine that we're coming close on a break time, but I want to pick on Lawrence Fishburne for a minute. Well, not pick on him, pick on his role. So I think that Lawrence Fishburne can carry any line that you give him, like any line. He makes it work. But when you think about what he's saying in this movie, did he ever have like anything to say other than, yeah, you can take the helicopter? No, not first class. Clark, where's my article about the football team? Clark, the football team. People want to hear about football and not Superman. Clark, where's my article about football?
Yeah, he talked about football, and then he got a helicopter at a moment's notice.
All he did was like – he was like the secretary in charge of travel arrangements for the paper. And by the way, that paper has way too much money for travel arrangements.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's like, was he the editor for the sports column instead of the head of the newspaper? Clark, where I need 500 words on that football team. Meanwhile, like, people are talking about a godlike alien, right? And the Bat of Gotham. But no, we want to hear about the football team's game last week.
Yeah, did you hear? Well, you know, maybe Bane, you know, blew it up, so they wanted to like have him write about it. Yeah.
Mark, that is the only acceptable justification. That is the only one.
All right, guys. Actually, we're coming up on a break here, actually. But, you know, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Batman versus Superman talk. Who wins?
Yeah, I'm going to go get some Granny's apple.
Who wins in that football game? That's I never got to find out.
You know what? I don't think it matters because I think we all
Clark never wrote the article, procrastinator.
All right, we'll see in a little bit.
When I say pod, you say
pie.
Wait a minute.
Whoa, what's
Robert,
going
take
on,
your,
Kyle?
Take your headphones off real quick.
Okay, sorry.
John, what the hell is this?
Oh, I don't know. Robert invited me over.
And yeah, I don't know. This is kind of awkward. Are we doing like a promo or something?
I don't know. I wish he'd put on his pants, though.
Yeah, he's like dancing around. He's talking about Shark Dropper.
I think he's looking for the baby oil.
Anyways, Robert, what are we doing?
What was that? I can put my headphones back on?
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing a promo for Shark Dropper.
Oh, okay.
That podcast we do that has improv, and we just talk about our daily lives and stuff.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I still wish you'd find your pants.
Where can I find it?
Oh, wait. Are we supposed to wear sharkdropper.com?
Short shot time.
Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. Yeah. I don't know. All this talk about Lex Luthor and Jesse Eisenberg made me go watch The Social Network again.
You know what you should watch? The End of the Tour on Amazon Prime right now.
Oh, he's in that, right?
Yeah, it's about the David Foster Wallace went on a tour through the Midwest. He was finishing up, and he was interviewed. And it's Jason Segel, Jesse Eisenberg, End of the Tour. Really great film. One of my favorites of 2015.
I actually have Infinite Jest sitting at home. I just, every time I look at it, because I haven't even started yet.
We have to walk over it.
I look at it and it's just really daunting. Like it's about the size of like a small like a footstool. I'm just like, man. It's like 900 something pages. I'm just like, oh man.
Like don't you use that as a chair when you need like extra people at dinner parties?
Yeah.
Like when you need
to use it as a chair. I use it to keep the boat parked.
Like, when you have to battle Superman, do you like attach it to a rope and pull it towards you?
No. I mean that I don't have enough strength for that. I don't think even Superman could lift Infinite Jest up.
Be too heavy,
yeah.
Oh, boom, literally and metaphorically.
Okay, one of these days I will read it, and I'll probably be like, that was an okay book.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
What'd you think about Great Expectations? It wasn't all I expected.
I read it, so
yeah,
I gave it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, Mark, I think we have another listener question to answer.
We do. And this one actually comes from my wife, Megan. She just, I don't know, she wanted us to answer it.
Shout out to Megan.
Hey, we were having a couple bourbons. We were having a couple bourbons and we were talking. And in honor of Lex Luthor. But she said, pick your top three movie characters ever and give them a signature drink. Could be beer, liquor, wine, etc. So anybody want to start?
Okay. So Jack Burton, he gets a Coors Light.
he strikes me as a PB&J guy. Pabst Blue Ribbon and a shot of Jack.
Oh,
man. Jack Burton is not a hipster. He's a domestic type of guy. You know, he's a no-frills type of guy. But he still wants to get
PB&J predates hipsters.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's been
taken over by hipsters. You got to admit that.
Well, you know, it's because they started calling it PB&J. Well, back then, it was just let me get a Pabst and a shot of Jack. And then the hipsters came around. They're like, oh, those letters make my favorite sandwich.
Yeah.
Let me get a PB&J and be all slick.
To be honest, my blood pressure's like getting pretty high here in
just talking
PB&J.
About it.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go see a doctor.
Mark, you're way too invested in booze.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the next one?
I thought we were taking turns. Okay.
Oh, okay. I got the Richie Tenenbaum.
Oh,
and
nice.
In the movie, he's always drinking Bloody Marys. But in this one, he's going to mix some Chivas Regal, some blended scotch, with his Bloody Mary. And he's going to call it the Suicide.
Was that Luke Wilson? Who was Richie Tenenbaum?
Yep, that was Luke Wilson.
Okay.
But the inside joke is called the blended scotch with Bloody Mary, the Suicide.
All right. I'm going diehard John McClane, good old Irish cop. I think he drinks a lot of Jameson.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Remember how hungover he looked in the very beginning of Die Hard with a Vengeance when they had him in the back of that van? They were taking him out to follow Jeremy Irons' like crazy bomber instructions. Like he had a special – he didn't have that pain of even like I had 20 beers last night because I feel like I could get right up even though I have a headache. He looked like his joints and motor function were completely hamstrung.
I mean, everyone around him was getting drunk from the vapors that's coming off his skin.
His boss is talking to him, and he's like, he's just hearing, wah, 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 wah.
So, Jameson.
I think that came from 20 Jamesons, not 20 beers.
Okay. Yeah, that was a liquor hangover.
All right, so my next one is really kind of cheating, but I don't really care. I'm going James Bond. I'm going with the vodka martini. You know, I just... It's funny. Like a martini sounds girly. The glass that it comes in looks girly. But you try to drink a martini, it's just like, whoa. Like it hits you pretty hard, you know?
Yeah. I think that really helped out a lot of guys. Like, because that came out in the 60s, you know? So like a lot of guys were probably like, oh man, I love martinis, but I don't want to drink them because people will think I'm not that manly. Then James Bond drank one. And then everyone's like, all right. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, hey, we can drink martinis now.
Have you, in Casino Royale, or at least in the Daniel Craig version, you guys remember that scene where he's sitting at the poker table and he's ordering a drink and he was like, wait. And he just like lists off all these sort of random ingredients. Like he wasn't reading off a list or anything. But you guys ever tried to make that?
No, the Vesper?
Yeah, it's, oh man. Like, I hope you like gin because it's going to get you drunk so fast.
I like some Hendrix gin.
Yeah, it's a man's drink, the Vesper. It's basically just gin on top of gin on top of gin. It's yeah, I don't know.
I like some Hendrix with a cucumber. Oh my goodness!
I don't like
it with Tanqueray and Hendrix.
Oh yeah. All right, so Tanqueray, give me a triple gin. So my next one is Quint from Jaws. He has the Naran. I can't pronounce this beer, but the beer he was drinking was Narragansett. So Narragansett beer mixed with Sailor Jerry, right? And I'm going to call it the Bigger Boat.
Oh, that's nice. Good. That's a good name.
That's right. And I love Sailor Jerry. I love some spice rum. You know, I like, I like some beer. So, nice. That's not the PBJ. It's like the BB.
There you go.
That's a cool one. Yeah. So I have one cheat as well, kind of like Lazbeth took a character in his actual drink. Mine is Michael Hansen, which is Ryan Reynolds' character from Buying the Cow. Hmm. And his drink is a pina colada. And, you know, Ryan Reynolds is like just as ripped back then as he is in like Deadpool now. And there's like a 2002 movie, and he's like a womanizer. And when he drinks his pina colada, he holds it a straw in one hand and the glass in the other, and he bobs his head to the music at the strip club with the straw in his mouth. And it's the funniest looking thing ever. But because everything he says is solid gold, you forgive him.
Nice. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just not like a sustainable drink all night, because like you're gonna get that slush belly.
Oh God, that's another horribly debilitating hangover. Liquor and heavy sugar bomb. Ooh.
Yeah. I had not thought about daiquiris.
We could make a whole podcast in the future out of alcohol and movies.
Like best drunk, best wasting. Yeah. Torque gets the best wasting of beer.
Yeah,
I hate that scene.
All right,
but all right. So what do you got, Laz?
I'm going with Indiana Jones. I'm going with, like, any type of whiskey, right?
Dude.
I know. But, like, the garnish, you have to use, like, an eyeball.
A monkey's eyeball?
Yeah. Like, that would be amazing, right? Like, I don't know how you would go about making an eyeball garnish, but you gotta do it. So I call it the Temple of Doom.
Ooh, the Temple of Doom. I want to get, like, a fake one and just put it in there now. All right, so my next one is I love the movie Hot Fuzz, and I love the Andes from Hot Fuzz. And there's a scene where the Andes are drinking. It looks like Guinness. I don't know what kind of pint it is. But they're drinking, and they get a beer mustache over their mustache. And Simon Pegg looks at the Andy, and Andy goes, hey, you got a mustache. And Andy's like, yeah, I know. So I got a drink called the Mustache and Tan, and it's basically just a Guinness and Bass. But the Mustache and Tan for the Andes from Hot Fuzz.
So I picked Indiana Jones as well.
What?
And it was specifically my third pick. Indiana Jones was also my third pick. And I was asking myself, you know, what is an aging – or not aging, adventuring professor drink? And I just figured it was some kind of aged scotch. But then I got to thinking, like, what was it in Temple of Doom – when he wanders into the girl's house, the girl's room, what's her name? Like, it's like Jerry or something. When he wanders into her room and he's drunk, what was he drinking that got him drunk?
He was drinking the Temple of Doom.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I don't remember what he was drinking. Like, because it had me thinking, like, oh, what would this adventuring professor drink? It's like, wait a minute, he got drunk in the movie. I don't remember.
Well, I know Scotch is really big in India right now. So I know this was 70 years ago during the time frame. But maybe he was like, but these were very affluent people. So maybe it was like some blended Scotch that he had been drinking.
Could have been. Like, I figured an aged Scotch would have been his style, you know, out on university grounds.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really know about the adventurer indie, though.
He was drinking yak blood mixed with gin.
Yeah. It's hard to pin down what he would drink. He seems like he would just drink anything after a long day of just punching Nazis and running away from boulders. Do you really care what you're drinking?
Yeah, if I just punched six Nazis, ran away from a boulder, had like a huge fight on like the side of the road, and I got to a bar, I wouldn't be picky.
Yeah.
I would just like walk in. I wouldn't even look. I would see the first thing that caught my eye. And I would be like, Woodford Reserve, the whole bottle.
You know how, like, people like to make fun of movies and, like, you know, how the characters will come and they'll be like, three beers. And they're like, you didn't say what kind of beer. You know what I mean? And you make fun of that. Whereas if Indy goes into a bar after, like, beating up four Nazis and he's, like, his shirt's all torn and he's just like, give me a beer. They're just going to give him a beer. And no one in the audience is going to criticize Indy.
Yeah. They're going to get it. Like, the bartender's like, I'm not even going to push it. I'm not going to give him the worst we have. I'm not going to give him the best. I'm going to give him one that will satisfy his cravings. You know what I mean?
Is it any wonder that he ended up with a character who can also hold her own as far as liquor goes?
Oh, yeah, the first one.
Yeah, she. That's probably, like, one of the best character introductions ever when she's in that drinking contest with that dude.
Oh, it was so good. They totally bastardized it in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the opening scene with Drew Barrymore in the drinking contest with the Mongolian.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Wait, but speaking of booze, I don't want to get into this movie, but there's this movie called The Awkward Moment. I think that's the name of it. But
That with Zac Efron?
Yeah, but Imogen Poots walks in with a bottle of Bullet Bourbon. And she's like, hey, I got some scotch. And all the guys are like, oh, man, she's so cool. And I'm sitting there going, that's a bottle of bourbon. Like, that's not scotch. Like, I was like, you guys know nothing about liquor. And like who's the prop master on this?
See, I think in that situation, I'd probably say the same thing, even though I would notice. I just don't want to be that guy and be like, actually, it's bourbon. That's not scotch.
You would have heard in the background, bullshit.
Yeah. I would have gone with it, you know. You got to pick your battles. If there's a hot girl involved, you just kind of have to go with it sometimes.
See, I'm married now, so I would have complained.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I was like, I appreciate the effort. That's great that people bring bottles. That's great etiquette. But, you know, were you just grabbing stuff off? Did you steal that? Like, did you just run in and grab it and run out?
Sounds like you're married, all right.
I was like, do you like mixers? Like, I guess we could mix this.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, I am never inviting Mark to another party.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's the answer to that question. Don't invite Mark to parties.
Yep.
So it's just better for everybody involved.
That's right. I will critique all the wonderful drinks that you paid your own money to bring and give to other people.
All right. Thanks again to Megan for that wonderful question.
Hey guys, Batman goes to fight clubs.
Yeah, he does. He does. Although he just stands there. He doesn't actually fight.
Do you think he whispered in that guy's ear? Punch him in the face.
Stop missing.
Listen, just hit him.
Dude, hard. So... One dude, I realize, like, these guys, you know, a lot of them are upper class, like upper class, right? These rich people betting on fights. If they see him there, this is going to get leaked. It's going to be in the paper. And then Lawrence Fishburne is going to be yelling at Clark to write about something other than football.
Yeah.
and wait. So they're right. All this stuff is going on, like I was saying, with Batman and Superman, right? And he wants a football story instead. But what do the headlines read when it's about the heroes? Because in the whole movie, they never actually say Superman. They say the Superman, how very Friedrich Nietzsche of them. And then instead of saying Batman, they say the Bat of Gotham. They never say Batman in the whole movie. So we have these two characters that have been named in their previous movies that built to this movie. And for some reason, we never use those names.
Interesting.
It's like in The Walking Dead how they never say zombie.
Yeah, what do they call them? Flesh bags, scream eaters.
Living well, they call challenge. Them all scream eaters.
Baguettes.
But don't get me wrong, I see what Zack Snyder's doing, and he's trying to do this big, like, this deification and iconism of the two respective characters. But not once do we hear Batman, or not once do we hear Superman without the word "the" in front of it, even though at the end of Superman, we hear Superman. And in Batman, well, they call him Batman, you know, that built up to this. I thought that was a little disjunct.
No, absolutely. And this is going to sound crazy, but speaking of words they say, like, differently, I love Mad Max Fury Road, but in that movie, Charlize Theron calls it guzzoline and not gasoline.
And oh, you've said that before, and I agree. It's so annoying.
The guzzoline. Wait, that's my Charlize Theron? Oh, my goodness. But it's like, why is it guzzling? What's guzzling? I hate that word.
What, guzzling?
Yeah, guzzling.
Folks, go back to episode, like, I think it was 16 or 17 when we talk about Fury Road, and you will hear fresh after seeing the movie how just genuinely upset Mark was with that word. And he's like, you could have made up any word. You could have called it turkey bacon. Like,
I would have loved that. Like, hey, I got a ton of turkey bacon for you. I'd have been like,
I've got 5,000 gallons of turkey bacon. It's like, well, I prefer regular bacon, but all right, we're on. It's a deal.
Fair enough.
I can make a lot of sandwiches out of that.
Yeah. I mean, my beef game is strong. I can salt some of it. Wait, you're going to salt 5,000 pounds of turkey bacon?
You're going to have to eat like a low-sodium diet for the rest of the week just to compensate.
Yeah. So you just brought up gasoline, which makes me think of commuting costs. How is it that Ben Affleck is getting from Gotham to Metropolis like in 30 minutes every day?
Well, apparently they're like really close. I guess they're on opposite sides of the bay.
It's like Philadelphia and Camden, New Jersey or something. It's like just across the river.
Yeah, you remember in that scene when they were on the rooftop with it was Superman and Lex Luthor, like Luthor was pointing across across the bay to Gotham. I'm like, "Oh, Gotham's not that far away from Metropolis, it seems," which doesn't make a lot of sense, but I guess.
So I don't remember what they did in Man of Steel, but in the comic stories and then in Smallville, like, Metropolis was just a major metropolis in Kansas.
You know, I don't think geography isn't Zack Snyder's strong suit either.
He does not care. He kills Jimmy Olsen, like, immediately.
Yeah, what was up with that? I'm just that's a major character.
Yeah,
I never liked him. I'm okay with it.
And also, I listened to Kevin Smith's hour review of that. Don't finish ours and listen to his. But in that one, he said that he was very fair to it. You could tell he was negative towards it, but he did not like Batman's portrayal. And he was talking about how Batman has this brand. So Batman brands criminals. Then those criminals go to jail and get murdered because they have the Batman brand. So two questions. I heard this on the Empire Pod. Who heats up that brand? Does he have like a little pocket lighter in his suit that he like keeps that brand hot?
I want to think that he just plugs it into his utility belt. It just waits like 15 minutes for it to heat up.
And then, do you like Batman killing people and like going up to Superman going, "I'm going to make you bleed"?
That was really out of character too. That went with the whole like self-righteous rather than for the right of protecting the people and justice. Because when he's like, "Superman, you ever seen your own blood?" Like, he's talking like a straight up murderer to Superman. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
you just became the villain of this scene. This scene, by the way, where we're jumping all over the place, what we always do, so I'm going to do it anyway. So this movie is called Batman versus Superman. Realistically, there are like 89 different versus statements in this movie. But when they fight, it's never really a fight. It's either Superman could kill Batman in a second, or Batman could just break Superman's neck, but for some reason throws him all the time. It's never actually a fight. It's one person is dominating and the other person is helpless, or they swap.
Yep.
It's never actually a fight. In the comic series, periodically Batman would have like a kryptonite infused suit, which would make Superman more less superhuman in his presence, and Batman would have like this kind of mechanized Iron Man armor that would make him tougher, and they'd be meeting in the middle, and it would be just a brutal fight. Whereas in this, it was one person killing the other, or they take turns killing each other. Like there was no exchange.
Yeah, and then also Superman got tricked. Like he got gassed by the kryptonite, and then he got tricked and got kryptonited again, the gas. And it's like, come on.
The second time it was stupid. The second time it's like, you know what's happening.
And Zack Snyder said that Batman's suit was more of like, he said like one day a bear escaped from Gotham City and Batman had to make a suit to like get the bear back in its pen. So he developed that suit. So he said that suit wasn't meant to like battle Batman. It was just meant to keep him alive until he could kryptonite him. I didn't like that.
there was a lot of weird stuff going on with that fight. And
then he makes a spear to murder Superman. And then spear
with the straight up thug villainy instead of justice and protecting the people.
And then Lois Lane throws that spear into a lake. And then Doomsday attacks. And Batman's not like, maybe I should get that spear. Like Batman just kind of hangs out and watches Wonder Woman and Superman battle Doomsday.
Yeah. That was so weird.
I want to bring it back to an earlier point. Batman doesn't really kill anybody in this movie. Like, are you talking about that dream sequence?
No, with those people with those brands, as soon as they get to prison, that's like a death warrant.
That's like an indirect way, but not like he never directly kills anybody.
During that car chase, I don't know why. Did he kill anybody on that?
Oh, yeah. No. I remember thinking that during that scene.
I don't know.
Lazaveth, anyone who just walked out of that movie who's listening to our podcast, y'all know, because the car was so crushed that there's no way there was a functioning human body in there.
Did he kill any people in that big fight, that like one take fight where he went to go rescue Superman's mom?
Dude, I feel like someone probably died, but they didn't like basically tell us.
I liked his lumbering style, though. I think Batman, like Ben Affleck's a big dude, so he had like a good presence in the fights. Like, and they were very, I don't know. I'd like to see it, you know, done a little bit better, but I did like how he fought. Like, I felt like he was very just like hard-nosed, like Canadian lumberjack boxer from the 1800s.
Yeah.
Dude, so you know what? I'm about to totally jump ship to another topic. So if someone has a thought, please throw it in now about the lumbering Ben Affleck. And I agree, though. I didn't even think of that, by the way. That's true. Like, he was very, very adroit for his size, but it was more credible.
Yeah, he needs some lumber. He needs some, like, flannel Batman camouflage.
This is a slight tangent, but I mentioned that dream sequence earlier. Like, that was really weird, right? I don't know. I don't know what point of that was.
What was up with the damn... Wait,
which one?
Flying
all
aliens.
Of them. All
are
of
you
them.
Talking about Ben Affleck's dream?
Oh, those are the parademons. Those are Darkseid's minions. And he's going to be the villain in Justice League.
Yeah.
But there's no reason for him to have that a premonition. That doesn't make sense. So it's just a dream. And it's a nonsense dream.
Yeah. Like, he's having dreams, and it's, like, furthering plot points.
And why is it that – so you have the bat suit, which in essence covers your face to disguise you. Why is he wearing a trench coat?
Yeah.
Over his, like, damn near bulletproof bat suit? Like, what's the trench coat protecting him from?
Sell more toys.
I mean, it was so weird, and –
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go ahead. I'm just kind of nonplussed thinking about that.
Yeah, so this was the first movie I saw where, like, dream sequences further the story.
How is it that you see a dream sequence where you're certain that Clark Kent is going to the Fortress of Solitude, and then instead you give us a story about a hero cake that doesn't taste good?
Yeah, and then Kevin Costner saves horses or something. I don't know, something like that.
No, he ended
like,
up killing those horses. Those horses ended up dying.
The horses didn't live.
Yeah. Oh, you still ate the cake, though.
My Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah. I mean, he has his man cave now with Lois. Like, he was – I don't know. I did feel bad. Megan brought this up, but there's that scene where he's sitting there eating Chinese food and everyone's talking smack about him. And he was just like, ugh. Like, I kind of like that scene, too, with Superman. The guy can't win.
Always happens when you're eating Chinese food. People are always talking smack about you.
I was making fun of Perry White, Lawrence Fishburne earlier. I'm going to kind of poke fun at another character now. So Alfred in this movie is like the tech guy in the action movie that always has the answer and is always on top of it and is always keeping track of what you're doing. And that's like his job.
Yeah.
Like he turned into Mission Impossible Emilio Estevez.
Emilio!
I mean, he's always just like, he's always the tech guy. He's like the mechanic, electrician, computer hacker, surveillance expert, / spy handler.
/ complaining that he drinks too much and doesn't have kids.
Right, but like, I was never convinced that he was worried about Bruce Wayne's well-being. He said a few things, but I was never convinced. Michael Caine was convincing all the damn time.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
I don't know who that was. It wasn't Michael Caine.
No, you're right. And I loved Michael Caine up until Dark Knight Rises, when I feel like Michael Caine had about a billion monologues. But in this one, Alfred was just kind of like, yes, boss. Like he, you're right. He just sort of went along with him.
Like, and he was,
enabler.
And he always had the magical answer to everything.
Yeah.
Like later, you know, after the Batman Superman fight, it's like, wait, you know, they have my mother, you know, and he's like, well, I've been listening in the whole time, Master Bruce. I've already tracked where she is. Like, it was that easy. He's like, yep, I know where she is. Here's the coordinates. Go get her.
So, like, yeah, all these people can't figure this out, but Jeremy Irons is doing that. And, like, Ben Affleck's getting, like, led away by awry by Lex Luthor. And the detective work in this movie is not very good.
How is it that Superman can hear that Amy Adams is in trouble from around the planet, but he can't stop and hone in on where his mother is 8 blocks away?
He's going to get a lecture later on, like hey, Superman.
How did he not know? He could have just like focused for a moment and been, he would have known before. Like, you can't even use the kryptonite gas argument, because he should have known before that his mother was in trouble.
Maybe yeah. He's one of those guys that never calls his mom, you know? It's just like his mom probably complains, like, oh, you never call her, right? So,
and when she's like, you could literally fly here in a minute. Oh, yeah. Look who it is.
I'm just busy, mom. I'm busy fighting crime and saving the world. You know, I've been busy.
The time I'm spending with you, an oil tanker just sunk.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like that too, because when Batman shows up, she's like, I figured you were one of Clark's friends, the Cape.
Yeah. Like, they're not friends yet. That's a very loose term between these two.
Wait, let's just get to Batman going to rescue Martha. Batman is about to stab Clark Kent in his chest and murder him, right? Straight up murder him. And Superman's like, Martha, which I don't know why he doesn't say mom, save my mother. But he says Martha, which is uncharacteristic already, right? And then Batman's like, wait, what? Your mom and my mom have the same name? Why are we even fighting?
and not even to mention, in the beginning of the movie, the father, when he's dying, he looks over to her and goes, Martha. And then he goes to his grave later, and there's a big Martha there. And at the end, it's Martha. So it's like, yeah.
But like, if everyone's last name was Martha, would or everyone's mother's name was Martha, would they just – would no one fight in the comic universe? Is that what that means?
Like I feel like when Zack Snyder – like when his team, they're in a room, right? And like, we need to find a way to make them like have peace, right? And their meeting started about 8 a.m. And by 8:30, some lucky guy was like, hey, wait. Both of their mother's names are Martha. I feel like they just like quit for the day, put it in Gangnam Style, and just danced around their office. Like I feel like they didn't. Like,
dude. So there's something that's been going around like social media, and it's a picture of like where after the what's your mom's name? Martha. Mine too. Wait a minute. On the count of three, say your favorite dinosaur. 1, 2, 3. Velociraptor. Did we just become best friends?
Oh, stepbrothers,
like, yeah. Like, I saw a bunch of memes going around for that. And then, of course, then I saw the movie, and there was just, like, it really was, like, Mark, you've made fun of this with a lot of movies, kind of like the Nick Nolte alcoholic bumbling.
Like, I'm sweating.
But that's what Ben Affleck was doing when he heard him say Martha. It's like, wait a minute, I totally forgot that I'm an uncharacteristically murderous Bruce Wayne. And Martha, your mother's name is Martha? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
I'm going to say again, because it sounds like a hate rant. I love a lot of things about this movie. I'm just going to come back to saying that when you string these scenes together and a few of these unfortunate moments like Martha, the movie doesn't work well as an independent movie. But yeah. A lot of the scenes were great. A lot of them were. But the whole fight was garbage. The whole fight and the Martha nonsense to
me. If you want to see a good fight, watch Dolph Lundgren and Jean-Claude Van Damme in Universal Soldier Regeneration. They slam through walls. They have a legit reason to hate each other. Like, that's a much more better. That's like, I was going to do a Michael Caine impersonation saying much more better. But that's like a better fight than Batman versus Superman.
Dude, that was shockingly even a better fight than the original Dolph Lundgren, Jean-Claude Van Damme fight in the first Universal Soldier.
That's right. And then, so guys, what do you think about, so we've talked about Wonder Woman. Lazvath, did you like Wonder Woman?
You know, she was getting like a lot of praise for it, and I just don't really get the reason why. I don't think she did much. Granted, she wasn't in the movie much. I just, you know, she was, she showed up to a party. She wore some nice dresses. She stepped off a plane, and then she saved Batman. Like, I don't really know. I don't really get what the excitement was about.
Do you think she was just like a breath of fresh air, like when she smiled and was lassoing Darkseid?
Honestly, at that point, I was just so burnt out by boredom.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's overload. I feel like. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I feel like, I don't know, I felt like she was shoehorned in there, because she was. Like, I feel like if you just, like, left out, like, all the Wonder Woman and the Metahumans and, like, all that Justice League setup stuff, if it was just focused on Batman and Superman, the movie would have been a lot better, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. You know?
I just...
Well, yeah, because then you would have had a story that could have some synthesis, because it wouldn't have all these other elements shoved around it. I mean, that makes sense.
Maybe I'm fairly using Wonder Woman as a scapegoat for that, though. So, I don't know. I feel like all the praise she's getting, like, I guess. I don't know. I don't think she really did all that much.
Like, you know, when you have, like, five terrible beers and you have one good one and it's only okay, but you're like, this saved my night. Like, it's not a great drink. It's just, it was better than everything else in the film. And so it's like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, you know, I mean, let's, the metahumans, before I get to the final fight, those metahumans thing in that thumb drive, and Mark, you mentioned earlier how funny it was that, yeah, he just pretty much copied the stuff. So the photo was still at Lex Luthor's place, which is a ridiculous oversight. But like, so Batman's not navigating this thumb drive and the files, right? Do we really think that even Lex Luthor, with whatever security that he thinks he has that's so amazing, would have named a file something as provocatively standoutish as Metahumans and had each file, instead of a little folder, have the icon for the comic book character on it?
Like, I would have had, like, Weekend at Cabo.
Yeah.
That would have been my folder.
Like, that was just so... It's one thing to have, like, this footage somehow introduced, but the way it was introduced was like, hey, wait, we filmed the whole movie, but we forgot to introduce these other Justice League characters. We got 3 hours. I think I can throw a scene together.
And like Aquaman was grumpy in the water. Cyborg was strapped to a wall. And then,
that was a weird scene. Then, that was way long, too.
Yeah, and then Ezra Miller just attacked the dude at a gas station and caused a bunch of damage.
Was that him who showed up at the end of Bruce Wayne's dream sequence?
Yeah, they're saying that was the Flash, Ezra Miller.
So that's like a reference or to a possible DC kind of plot where like Superman goes bad because Lois Lane dies in the future.
Yep.
So Flash has to go back in time to warn Bruce Wayne to change the future or something like that.
Yeah, so they're going like 18 films down the line with that scene.
Yeah.
That's the long game right there.
Like, I know Marvel did it. Like, they, you know, like, remember in Thor they brought in Hawkeye? But, I mean, like, those didn't feel overly they didn't mess with the story. They just kind of introduced you to the character, then the story went on. Like, they threw him into a situation that Thor would have been in anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So I just think that instead of organically putting them in, they just kind of shoehorned them into a shoehorn, and then shoehorned a shoehorn, and then shoehorned that.
Yeah.
And then Megasonic Sonic Meatball Sandwich.
I will say, though, that I do like The Flash. He's one of my favorite DC characters, so I am hopeful that they're going to make a Flash movie, even though, like, the Flash TV show it's not all that great. I don't think so. But
I'm sure they will. It'll just be, like, second wave after they do the first, I'm going to say the first Justice League movie. Yeah.
And Ezra Miller's a good actor. He was really good in Perks of Being a Wallflower.
You know what's really weird? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not too weird, but, like, they didn't use the actor from the Flash TV show, so I guess they want to keep that separate from the TV show.
Yeah, it kind of stinks because they're, like, treating it like JV leagues.
Yeah, because, like, you know, Green Arrow, like, that took a couple of seasons to get going, but it's really good now. Like, I feel the same way about Flash. Like, it's just starting up, but I feel like if you give it a couple more seasons, they'll be just as good. So, yeah, that's kind of unfortunate for the guy playing Flash on TV. I'm like, oh, I don't get to be in the movies.
Yeah, honestly, I don't blame them, though, because look at how many bombing superhero movies we actually have had in the last decade. Like, yeah. There have been a lot of disappointments, even though a lot of great movies, there are a lot of disappointments. If you have a very successful TV show, you wouldn't want it to be at risk with a horrible representation in a movie.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I would love to see I forget his name, but what's his name from Green Arrow show up in a Justice League movie?
Oh, Stephen Amell.
Yeah, he's great as Green Arrow. I would love to see him, like, alongside Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot and Henry Cavill. You know, I think he'd be great. So
yeah, I like that guy. You know,
all this talk about Gal Gadot too that we're getting into, like, I was really, like, pissed off at that casting. I'm not gonna lie, because she's this little dainty wisp. And even though she put on, like, 15 pounds for this role, she still looks like a dainty wisp.
Yeah, and, like, you know, Henry Cavill and Batman, you know, Mr. Pull-Up got Jack for it.
Oh, yeah.
No, Henry Cavill got smaller.
Oh, did he?
Ooh. Well, he was much bigger in Man of Steel.
But he was still in very, very, very muscular shape.
They wanted Ben Affleck to look bigger.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, they were still very much so lean, mean, big.
Oh, sure, yeah. They're both in epic shape that I'll never be in, even if I win the lottery and can hire a team.
So I wasn't too bothered about it, but my wife Megan was like, yeah, she's like, if Batman and Superman got to be jacked, why doesn't Wonder Woman have to? But
well, I mean, she has powers, whatever. It's just that the character is not wispy in the comics. So, but she held her own, though. She made it work. She looked so wispy in the dress that I was like, that'll never work. And somehow it didn't bother me in the action scenes. And can I say, she was the only part about that Batman-Superman doomsday fight that I didn't dislike.
Yeah, she was, like, lassoing it and, like, slicing the tendons.
Her sword could pierce Doomsday's flesh. Yep. She was, like, holding her own. She's blocking his energy attack better than Superman can. She's cutting him up. Her lasso can hold him at bay. And she's strong enough to hold it. Like, she might have been able to take on Doomsday herself.
I want to see how she lassoed Doomsday, though. Like, I saw her. I was like, that's awesome. I'm like, I want to see how she did that.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
And then, like, the one moment that got, like, a great laugh, which it absolutely spoiled in the trailers, which kind of sucks. But I love that scene where, like, is she with you? Oh, no, I thought she was with you. Like, that was funny. Like, that showed, like, personality. And, like, people in the audience. So our audience wasn't full. Like, because there's like, the theater we went to was, like, one of those 24s that were showing, like, 8 screenings of it. So probably the 40 people in the theater, the only time they reacted to anything is when Wonder Woman came on and her score hit. And then they made that joke about, is she with you? That's the only time the audience came to life. Like, everybody in the audience went, like, yeah! So it's weird, John, that, like, you know, even though some people said she did more preening than acting in the film, like, the biggest applause is a side character that got shoehorned in.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm not, you know, necessarily disagreeing with that. I just, I just think it's ironic that the that she's getting a lot of praise for really not doing too much.
Yeah.
You know, it just in the grand scheme of the movie, I'm just like, oh, okay.
So she was like,
she did have a very powerful screen presence in all that closing fight scene.
And she was good in the Fast movies. I thought she was really good in like the action scenes with that. And she was kind of like the Steve Kerr of the Chicago Bulls. She came in, drained a three at the end and won the game. Yeah. You know, she didn't do much work. But, man, I'm going back to the 90s a lot. Yeah. But she kind of came in, drained a three, game was over.
She was Ray Allen with
she's the Ray Allen coming in at the end and draining a three, and everyone's like, Ray Allen's the best. And then everyone, like, you know, yeah. Dwayne Wade's like, what about me? But I guess that kind of works. Like, was that when Dwayne Wade and LeBron James were on the same team?
Yeah, and Chris Bosh.
Yeah, Chris Bosh was
we'll say that Dwayne Wade was Batman, LeBron James Superman. Chris Bosh was Aquaman, and we'll call Ray Allen Wonder Woman.
There we go.
I've only heard of one of those men.
That's all you need to know. But, I don't know. Since we're kind of winding down here, I kind of want to bring up one more point, is that they're actually coming out with an extended R-rated cut, I think a couple months from now. What do we think about that? I think it's like an extra 30 minutes or something like that.
I'm gonna watch.
Yeah, no. So they knew that was gonna happen like 3 months ago, though. It's because they had to cut it down to avoid an R rating because of like it was just more of the same action, basically. Like in the Batman Superman fight and the final fight, it was just longer action scenes, and they were saying there were too many brutal hits for a PG-13 rating.
Yep. Yeah. So call me crazy, but I'm going to watch it because I feel like this movie could have been longer. I think there could be scenes that add more to the characters. And that's at the end of the day what I'm all about. Like I watched the extended cut of The Battle of the Five Armies, the Hobbit movie. And that was they added some amazing extra footage. That actually,
was that like 18 hours long?
Yeah. It was. I mean, my hair changed color while, you know, watching it. But my roots grew back to blonde. Like they actually gave the dwarves something to do, and now I look back at them much more fondly because, like in the director's cuts, they had more to do. So maybe, you know, I don't know. I haven't watched. Have you watched a director's cut of Watchmen?
No. Why is it supposed to have a lot of different stuff?
Yeah, they're saying it's the way to watch it.
Hmm.
I don't know who they is, but you know.
Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James. Also,
yep. I know LeBron. If he's saying it, I guess I'll believe it because he was so great in Trainwreck.
Yeah, he loves Downton Abbey, but no. I mean, are you guys gonna watch R-rated cut?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna buy it. Don't get me wrong. I may sound like I have nothing but like negative criticism about this movie for the most part, but I mean, and I was not like I wasn't exactly happy during my movie experience, but I'm still happy the movie was made. I wish it was made better in a lot of ways, but I'm happy it was made. I am. I'm not one of those haters who's like, this shouldn't have even done better have had nothing than this. Like, I'm not that person. I'm critical, but I want to buy it. There were a lot of great scenes in it. There was a lot of great acting in it. Lawrence Fishburne owned those football demands.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, I'll get it. Now I'm excited to see, you know, more action because I got to tell you, the Batman Superman fight. Like, there were a couple punches that were so brutal that I was, like, yelling out loud. But for the most part, I didn't give a damn what happened during that fight because we never saw other dimensions of the characters, really. So maybe if I saw more of the fight, at least I'd be enjoying it more, you know, as a movie fight.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I'll probably wait for the reviews. It's just that... You know, this movie wasn't bad. It's just its biggest sin was that it was boring. Yeah. You know, I didn't have fun watching this movie.
No,
and it's just like even with a bad movie, I can still have fun watching like Sharknado. Like I knew that wasn't going to win any awards, but I had a lot of fun watching it. This movie is just like I don't know. There was like no entertainment value in it at all. It was just a big setup for, you know, movies coming down the line, which, you know, have a lot of potential. I'm hoping. I don't know. I think I don't think I need to see more setup. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And it's interesting how we're kind of grasping at straws on certain scenes. Like, I'm talking about how I loved one moment when Wonder Woman smiled, or like a scene where Henry or when Clark Kent. When Clark Kent went into the bathtub with Lois Lane, like, just to show some personality. Like, these are moments that should be in every film. But since there's only about three of them in this movie, you're like, oh, my gosh, I loved it.
There really should have been, like, 30 minutes instead of 3 minutes of that those kinds of scenes for our characters.
They should have, like, cut Holly Hunter's character out and just kind of had it been between Batman, Superman, and Lex Luthor working in between them. And just a really jealous rich dude. I mean, a jealous rich dude, billionaire genius, could cause a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And drop that stupid bullet subplot.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I would watch a reduced time cut, like a 2-hour cut of Batman versus Superman.
We need Topher Grace. He's been editing a lot of movies. We need him.
He has been editing a lot of movies. Didn't he do the fabled prequel edit for Star Wars?
Yeah, for Star Wars, he did Close Encounters. So he needs to get a hold of this movie, get the R-rated cut, and make
that. Did you say Topher Grace?
Yeah. He has a website called Serial Prize where he does the stuff that interests him, like Seinfeld cuts and like all the fighting between Siskel and Ebert. And like he does.
Why I haven't been seeing him in movies in like the last 5 years?
Well, what he said was he'll act in movies, but in between he doesn't like sell anything or, you know, publicly date people. So to stay in the limelight, he works on his website.
Nice.
So, but I mean, it's actually like, I mean, I would love to see a cut of Superman, BVS R-rated, cut. Like he could probably whittle it down to 1 hour 45, 2 hours.
You think he's ever edited Spider-Man 3?
Oh gosh. don't touch a frame of that movie. I love emo Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Guys, I will tamp a windmill for that movie. I will make a Kryptonian spear and fight people to defend that movie. It's all terrible, but I love it.
Well, when we get the emo,
no one will care.
When we get the email, Peter Parker, I think that's when we need to start wrapping up. But before we do, do we have any plugs you want to make?
Guys, just, you know, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the pod. We appreciate you listening, spending your time with us, listening to our opinions when there's, you know, so many out there. But just give a chance. Head on to iTunes and rate, review. We would love to hear what you think. And, you know, if you ever have random questions, send them our way. And thank you.
Yeah.
Shark Dropper is pretty cool. They host us.
Yeah. they're all right.
Yeah, they're all right.
We're recently becoming a part of the Lamb Network.
Oh, yeah. I got to send them an email.
Which is the large ass movie blog network. Is that what this is?
Yep.
Yeah,
I gotta send you that email, Lazbeth.
Lamb. Yep. All right, guys. All this Batman vs Superman talk has me kind of winded. I'm just kind of like stumbling across the finish line here. All right, guys. For my co-host Mark Hoffmeyer.
Where's my football game right now?
John Lemmingood.
Okay, I guess you can use the chopper.
Yeah. I've been your host, John Lasswood. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Oh, stay tuned for the extended edition of this podcast. I think we're going to add like an extra 30 minutes. We're going to add like more fights between us.
Yep.
Right, there'll be more.
And kryptonite spears and face pounding.
Yeah, there'll be 30 more minutes of that.
And a little bit more character.
It'll be the R-rated version, too. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. And we'll see you guys next time.
T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.